Report is happy to mix it up whenever possible. So here's our first interview with a modern mixologist. Tony Abuganin has just written Vodka Distilled, The Modern Mixologist on Vodka and Vodka Cocktails. The book, written with Mary Elizabeth Faulkner, sets out to help us get a better sense of vodka's proper place in the contemporary cocktail scene. Tony has built a reputation as one of the world's preeminent cocktail experts. He's worked with Mario Batali, Steve Wynn, and many others. He's mixed drinks on the Today Show, Good Morning America, and more. And he's been featured in Time and Vanity Fair. His first book, The Modern Mixologist, is incredibly popular. GQ described it as a modern classic from an industry legend. Welcome, Tony. So great to have you as a guest on the Book Report.
Eileen, so nice to be on the show. Thanks.
All right. How did you get into this business? How did you become the modern mixologist?
Well, Elaine, I grew up in the bar business. My cousin Helen David opened the Brassville Bar in Port Huron, Michigan in 1937, along with her mother, and ran it for nearly 70 years. So in 1980, at the tender age of 20, she agreed to teach me to become a bartender, and I've been doing it ever since.
All right. So what was your inspiration for choosing vodka as your subject matter now?
Well, my first book, The Modern Mixologist, Contemporary Classic Cocktails, touched briefly on every spirit category. And along with my publisher, Agat, we decided that we would do a series of companion books to The Modern Mixologist featuring each individual spirit category. And with vodka being the number one consumed spirit in the United States, we thought the obvious choice would be to go with vodka. But I also think that there's a real misunderstanding with regard to vodka as a category, and with better knowledge becomes better enjoyment. And I think that the better we can educate people on vodka, on the pleasures of vodka, and I'm only talking about straight vodkas, Elaine. I don't touch on any of the flavors. There's no marshmallow vodka in the book. But just enjoying and appreciating the nuances of vodka.
I loved how you shared so much history about vodka. Can you tell us a fact or two?
Well, that's one of the interesting thing about spirits and cocktails in general, is that they do have these great histories and anecdotes and stories that are deep-seated. And for years, I stood in front of the bar not knowing anything about any of the bottles that were behind me. And as I started to delve into the world of mixology and bartending and spirits, it's amazing to discover the histories behind them. And, vodka is one of the oldest spirits that we have. It dates back hundreds of years. There's a great debate whether it was first invented in Russia or Poland. Our research points to Russia as being the birthplace. But that whole Eastern European block, known as the vodka belt, where vodka is drank for vodka's sake, that vodka is consumed on its own, neat from the freezer in a frosty little glass and often served alongside food, is a culture that we really haven't embraced in the United States. So I wanted to bring light to this and share it with my readers and really encourage them to get out there and drink and enjoy vodka and pair it with caviar or foie gras or even something as simple as sliced meats goes beautifully with a chilled frozen glass of vodka.
All right, you touched on something I want to ask you. Should we all keep vodka in the freezer and why?
Well, I believe that for drinking vodka on its own, it's best enjoyed straight from the freezer. When it gets down below zero, the consistency of the vodka changes, the viscosity changes, it takes on this almost syrupy consistency that is just so delightful and so lovely when you first sip it. What happens is you enjoy it, and I'm not one to boast doing shots of frozen vodka like the Russians do. I like to sip it and really kind of enjoy the journey, if you will, how the vodka starts to express itself as it gradually warms up in the glass, as the viscosity changes, and a lot of those subtle nuances of the raw materials start to expose themselves. And it really, to me, is a pleasure to just kind of sip that frozen vodka and enjoy it as it warms. Now, I hesitant to say that that's the best place to keep it for cocktails, especially cocktails that require a certain amount of dilution, like the vodka martini. In this case, you want a certain amount of dilution from the ice, so I feel it's better to keep it at room temperature. And a final note on tasting. When I do a professional evaluation of vodkas, I always taste them at room temperature, because at room temperature, they really expose all of those subtle nuances.
Now, in the book, you profile 60 vodkas from around the world, and you assign them character scores. Tell us about that.
Well, it's actually 58, to be honest to my your listeners and my readers. It's 58 vodkas from around the world, and I break them down into raw materials. So is it a vodka made from corn or from wheat or from a mix of grains, potato, grape, so that you'll realize that what you're looking for in the vodka, I think, is the characteristics of the raw materials. Now, when we talk about Eastern Europe and the vodka belt, that vodka-drinking part of the world, vodkas traditionally had much more character. They were robust. They were sometimes aggressive. They were big-bodied. And this is what I would refer to as a vodka with big character, or to steal some verbiage from the wine guys, old world in style, where, you know, the vodka really tastes like vodka. As vodka started to work its way into the West last century, vodkas became much more approachable. By the simple definition of the U.S. government, a vodka is defined as a tasteless, colorless, odorless spirit. So a more feminine style of vodka evolved, something that was much lighter in character, what I refer to in the book as New World in style. So not one is better than the other. They're just different. And ultimately, Elaine, it's only your preference. The person with the glass of vodka in front of them, the person drinking and enjoying that glass of vodka, that really can decide which style is their best or their favorite. But just to know that there are these subtle differences. And when I refer to a character like a 7 or an 8, that's a real big, robust, full-bodied vodka, whereas a vodka down in the 3 and 4 range is a softer, more approachable, more neutral in style. Not better, not worse, but different.
Can you share a favorite vodka recipe?
Well, absolutely. I spent 3 years traveling the world with Dale DeGroff, one of my mentors, on behalf of Finlandia Vodka, doing something called Finishing School, and we visited 42 markets. And one of the drinks that Dale would always demonstrate was a drink called the Flame of Love Martini. And the Flame of Love is a drink that came from Chasen's in Los Angeles, and it was created by a bartender by the name of Pepe Ruiz. And Pepe was asked by Dean Martin one evening, he said, "Pepe, I come in here all the time, and I don't have a drink that is created in my honor." And Pepe said, "Mr. Martin, next time you come in, you'll have that drink." And it was the Flame of Love Martini. What it is you take a cold martini glass and you rinse it with Fino Sherry, the lightest of all sherries, kind of nutty. And then you stir your favorite, well, Pepe would shake it, but Dale would stir it, favorite vodka, pour that in, flame an orange peel over the top so the oil's float beautifully on top, drop in the peel, and hence the Flame of Love Martini. And why I love that cocktail so much is you really get to enjoy the characteristics of the vodka. So often, Elaine, when you make a vodka-based drink, and what drove vodka's popularity in the United States was its mixability. You could virtually mix it with anything, and it would provide the presence of alcohol, the support of the other ingredients. In the case of drinks like the Flame of Love, a drink I created called The Wizard, which is an original Tony Aguganum drink in the new book, Vodka Distilled, you can really taste and appreciate and recognize the subtleties of the specific vodka.
What are you going to be speaking about at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival?
Well, I'm so excited about South Beach Food and Wine Festival. I've been to virtually every one. Lee Schrager, the wonderful Lee Schrager, invited me to the second South Beach Food and Wine Festival, when it was just one speaker tent on the beach, and I was the last seminar, and I did a cocktail seminar, and it was standing room only, and I've been back to virtually everyone since. And he's got me doing two seminars, but I'm also launching the book at South Beach.
All right. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, as is your book, which is fun and informative. I really loved it. Thanks so much for joining us today, Tony.
Elaine, it's a pleasure, and I hope I see you at the South Beach Wine and Food Festival.
All right. Bye.